com.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
I've not yet begun to defile myself.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, rolling through the happier happy hour. I've taken note of the fact that U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, on behalf of National Beer Day, celebrated by chugging a beer. And I actually went through, and I did my one Mississippi. I sort of counted times. Yeah.
How did you watch it? You watched it on like on Twitter or something?
Well, I posted it now on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page.
All right.
The original link is from NBC News here in the Madison area. But the tweet apparently was on the WISGOP Twitter stream. They tweeted out Ron Johnson slamming a beer. And I wouldn't so much call it slamming because it took him, according to Crudy's, you know, just kind of one 1,000 count, one Mississippi count. It took him like 6.5 seconds to down
Can't
the
you
beer.
Just look at the video from the start to the end and, you know, use the little
ticker
on the
bottom? Well, the entirety of the video is like 9 seconds, but
all
he puts the glass down.
Yeah, you got to give him a little time for that.
And
right.
Then he nearly pukes on himself a little bit. You know, you can see he's like, he's just got a little.
Keep it down. Keep it down.
Yeah, he didn't say anything. You know,
eyes got a little glassy.
That little look.
A little salivating going on in the back of the mouth. Keep it down, Ron.
I assume that's the natural course of the end of the video. They didn't have to, you know, the.
Keep it down. Keep it down, bro.
Yeah.
I hope they didn't have to edit that part out for Ron. You know, like he didn't spray the bar afterwards.
I mean, and I'm down, you know, but glamorizing the beer, but just, you know, cursing the weed is just, it bothers me, man. Doesn't it bother you just a little bit, Crudy? I mean, when we finally legalize weed, it'll probably be through a federal act, not because the Wisconsin Republicans have any, you know, sense of what the people want to do. Do you think Ron will be, you know, torquing a 3-foot bong to celebrate National Weed Day?
I don't know where DC lives anymore, but we could go back for the Bong Olympics. But I'd beat Ron. I'd feel quite confident.
Oh, the 3-footer, we left it with Rocky, man. Come on, you know. I mean, the one behind the fridge, we left that in lacrosse.
I had a different one. You know, I had one separate. I had a life before my friendship with you.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I mean, you may have lived, but it wasn't a life.
Life was simpler and better then. Less sinful.
Don't get me started.
I hope you're not snorting tequila through your nose. That stings a little.
That stings the nostrils.
So here's what I would encourage the audience. As long as you're, you know, done for the weekend, as long as you're not driving anywhere too fast, too far, go chug a beer on video and post it in the comments. And you can compare your prestigious drinking abilities.
Out of a glass.
Wisconsinites. Yeah. Solo cup, glass, whatever.
Yeah.
And then
not a shotgun. He didn't take a can and pop a key in the back and slam it.
No.
Yep,
slam
it.
That.
No. Wasn't a bottle yet. It
wasn't
a
beer bong.
Straw. Yeah, okay.
Now, have you ever done the beer bong?
I'm not a big slammer of the drinking kind of a guy. I'm more of a sipper of the booze guy.
Well, the beer bong more so gravity forces itself right into your belly. You know.
So good. Once it hits your lips, it's so good.
So good. It's Frank the Tank, baby.
I remember doing those, you know, early college days.
Early in the morning?
Well, occasionally. You know, if it was a party weekend, like October.
Early college days? Really? I mean, I was literally off with a beer bong like 2 years ago. I was in a garage. We were partying. And there you went, no, thank you. Don't want to do a beer bong. But
no, I
thanks.
Got tequila and some weed right here.
Right, I'm fine.
I'm good. You know, I've thought about, you know, setting aside drinking for some period of time. I'm not sure what period of time that would be. Normally, I'm only looking.
When the bottle was empty and you had to go get a new one?
You know, you drink more than I do. I'm pretty, at least in terms of how many days a week you drink. Because I'm like a Friday night, Saturday night guy, and I'm pretty sure any day that ends with Y is okay with you.
How many days of the week are there?
7, I hear.
Okay, 8 days a week, baby.
8 days a week. That's how much you care. Dominic, there are some political stories I think we should at least touch upon.
It is Friday, and I do have some grievances, but you start.
Well, I was going to point out the exclusive over at CNN.
Yes.
The Don Jr. text messages to Mark Meadows. Man, the guy was planning a coup before Fox News had even called it for Joe Biden.
I'm right. And I want respect.
Yeah, Fredo's implicating himself in text messages to Mark Meadows. I mean, he was never the brightest, but I mean, what he texted seems very criminal. I mean, it seems to be plotting a coup, and you can't even say state of mind because effectively he wasn't even clear his dad had lost yet, and he was already plotting a coup.
You know, I can handle things. I'm smart.
A coup in search of a justification is exactly what Trump Jr. was doing. And I read the article, and I didn't see any sense of, you know, hey, this was fraud or this has got to happen. It was really all a plan, the plan to go forward, a plan for electors. You know,
we control all the levers of power effectively. We've got all these different mechanisms that we could throw against the wall, and it doesn't matter what works because it's really just about control, about wielding power, right? And that's what's so evident. I mean, this is literally the definition of evidence. We've seen the evidence now. We've seen Don Jr. He's criminally complicit. So when's Don Jr. going to be indicted?
From CNN, just a little bit here. Let's throw this out there. It's very simple. Don Trump Jr. text Meadows on November 5th, adding later in the same missive, "We have multiple paths. We control them all." Multiple paths, we control them all. In a statement to CNN, Jr.'s lawyer said, quote, "After the election, Don received numerous messages from supporters and others. Given the date, this message likely originated from someone else and was forwarded." The November 5th text message outlines a strategy that is nearly identical to what allies of former Trump president attempted to carry out in the months that followed. Trump Jr. makes specific reference to filing lawsuits and advocating recounts to prevent certain swing states from certifying their results, as well as having a handful of Republican state houses put forward slates of fake Trump electors. You know, a handful of those state houses, like the state of Wisconsin. After that failed, according to the text, GOP lawmakers in Congress could simply vote to reinstall Trump as president on January 6th. Quote, "We have operational control, total leverage," the message reads. "Moral high ground, POTUS must start second term now."
You're acting like that's somehow incriminating these new text messages that have come to the public's attention through the reporting at CNN.
It seems to be incriminating to me.
Well, it's entirely incriminating, Dom. You know, you don't have to be a lawyer to see the guilty state of mind on full display here in the text messages from Don Jr. to Mark Meadows. I mean, that's Trump's son and his chief of staff.
Well, do you find this any more galling than Ginny Thomas or less?
Ginny Thomas is a differing concern.
But she has the same messaging to Meadows. Let's just assume I equate Don Jr.'s position and Ginny Thomas's position as the same position. Do you?
I think she can more readily be dismissed as a busybody. I'm talking about Ginny Thomas. She can more readily be dismissed. Oh, here's the crazy churchy lady.
Well, it's less about Ginny Thomas and more about Clarence Thomas, though. See,
well, everyone tolerates her because of Clarence. Well, why do you think they tolerate Don Jr.? I think something about the name, right? But he's a little closer. I mean, at least he's a blood relative. He's the firstborn. He's the namesake. So, yeah, I think he's a little more connected to the president than something Ginny Thomas might have said. Oh, I hope this is true.
I don't know. Come on, man. You take more umbrage with Don Jr. saying essentially the same thing as Ginny Thomas. And I take more umbrage with Ginny Thomas because I think she has a greater influence over Clarence than Don Jr. does over Daddy.
That's why he was texting the chief of staff and not directly to his father. But I would say Don Jr. was proposing a criminal plot. Ginny Thomas was just a crazy QAnon lady, relatively speaking. He's putting forth specific plans of action to steal the election. You know, yesterday.
But again, you're differentiating between the messages of Ginny Thomas to Mark Meadows and that of Junior. And I don't think they're, although
he's
they're putting forth action plans.
Well,
so is Ginny. Hey, you got to keep the Kraken lady on. What was the Kraken lady doing? She was in, she was going out there filing these frivolous lawsuits, just like Don Jr. was wanting, just like Ginny Thomas was wanting.
Don Jr. wasn't asking for lawsuits. Don Jr. was looking to overturn the election, the peaceful transfer of power. There's a specifically different ask there. Ginny Thomas, yeah, go get the Kraken lady. Go get Cleta Mitchell. Go get Sidney Powell. Sure. Go get all your best and throw it at the wall. Okay, sure. Fair enough. But I didn't see anything criminal about what Ginny Thomas was advocating for. You know, she wasn't putting forth a specific plan to be acted upon
by the chief of staff
from the president of the United States.
I think we're probably splitting hairs here, but from the CNN
reporting, I think there's clearly a different intent behind the messages.
The November 5th text message outlines a strategy that is nearly identical to what allies of former Trump attempted to carry out in the months that followed. Trump Jr. makes specific reference to filing lawsuits and advocating recounts to prevent certain swing states from certifying their results. That's exactly what Ginny was doing, right? I mean, that's the same thing. And her husband is, you know, a Supreme Court justice. Now, granted, daddy's the president, but he just lost
Ginny Thomas
the election.
Wasn't laying out the next steps, which would have included sending it back to state legislatures and the congressional vote count.
Well, we haven't seen the totality of her text messages.
Well, we've seen 21
text
messages.
Yeah, like I said, we have not seen the totality.
Oh,
and
you
it sounds
think
like,
there's
again,
more that have been shielded?
I think there's some, absolutely. I mean, absolutely there are messages that we do not know of from Ginny Thomas. There are conversations that she has had directly with Mark Meadows, directly with the president, that we are not aware of. So, yes, absolutely. We do not know. All we know is 26, which is just a peek in the keyhole, man. That's barely anything, and we already know. But again, at the end of the day, it is, what is it? It is the immediate, and she was meeting with the president often, as the reporting has shown. And, of course, Junior is Junior. So we have, you know, everyone around Trump pushing for this criminality, this overturning, this insurrection, a coup in search of a reason. Trump was laying this out, you know, the December before the election, January, February, when COVID was hitting. He was already saying at the time, and we discussed it at the time, oh, this is going to be a fraud. This doesn't. I mean, He was laying the groundwork. He was planting the seed corn, Crudy, and all this has come from that. This has been a years long, not a months long, not since the November election. This has been a topic of conversation within the Trump world for at least 8 or 9 months, probably longer, before he lost the election, because they saw the writing on the wall. And once you're in, hell, you want to stay in regardless of the cost, and we'll just call, you know, chalk it up to free speech and attorney-client privilege.
Well, it also shielded him from specific criminal prosecution, talking about Donald Trump. I mean, right? It's a get-out-of-jail-free card that kept him out of prison during the course of his first term. So I think that there is specific criminal acts detailed in the text messages from Trump Jr. to Mark Meadows. I don't see the same thing contained in the Ginny Thomas emails. And I think when you consider they actually carried forth on the Trump plan, but the Trump Jr. plan, did you see where CNN thought it might be inspired from? The time frame from Mark Levin.
Oh, yeah, I have that right here. Quickly. Junior's November 5th text to Meadows came as similar notions of faithless electors were starting to percolate publicly on conservative social media. Junior sent the text message to Meadows at 12:51 p.m., just minutes after conservative radio host Mark Levin had tweeted a similar idea and suggested state legislatures have final say on electors. If secretaries of state were unable to certify the results, Trump Jr. argues in his text to Meadows that they should press their advantage by having Republican-controlled state assemblies, quote, step in and put forward separate slates of Trump electors. He writes, Republicans control Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, etc. We get Trump electors, Trump Jr. adds.
Well, that speaks to state of mind, and that is an action plan that they indeed tried to carry out. And I think it smacks of criminality. But what do I know? I'm just a talk radio host. And
yeah, like
apparently,
Mark Levin.
Apparently, you know, I could just try to incite an armed revolution at the U.S. Capitol. You know, if I don't like the outcome of the next election. Come back. More devils. you're going to like what comes next. Probably, maybe.
I can handle things. I'm smart.
Keep it down, bro.
That was called action, not with the mouth.